We're going to be in the book of Job today, and I haven't done a lot from the book of Job. Those of you who know, I keep track on computer, and I have a big file cabinet drawer full of all the messages that I've ever done. And I just happened to notice I've only had three from the book of Job in 14 years. And contrast that with over 60 from the book of Luke, which is the biggest file in there. That's not planned, it's just the way that it works. But I wonder if maybe it's because I've always struggled with the book of Job. I don't think it is, but I've always struggled with it. Chapter 1 starts out when all the sons of God were told, which I believe are angels, and they all gather together in God's presence, and the devil is there. And I struggle with that, you know, that God being in the presence of the devil, that's hard for me to comprehend. And the devil, God asked the devil, what have you been doing? And he said, I've been going to and fro. And he hasn't stopped going to and fro since that day. But then God says, have you considered my servant Job? He's a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. The devil then says, Job's only good because you're good to him. You take away his stuff, he'll curse your name. So God says to the devil, take away his stuff. And he takes away all of his livestock. He takes away all of his children, all of his riches. And Job praises God. Then the devil says, well, we took his stuff away, but if you afflict him personally, if you give him illness, if you take away his health and his well-being, then he's going to curse God. And he did that. He brought great boils upon Job. And I don't know if any of you ever had a boil. I used to get them when I was a kid. And I'm so glad I haven't had one since then. They're about the most painful thing that there is. And he was covered with them. And he praised God. Well, what's always troubled me here in this is that it almost looks like God allowed Satan to talk God into afflicting Job. And in reality, we know that nothing comes as a surprise to God. And I think really what God was doing was teaching us and teaching Satan that even in the midst of the greatest trials you might be going through, it's possible for people to praise God and to serve him. And I think that's a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson for me anyway. The rest of the book of Job involves his loving wife coming up and saying, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, no support there necessarily. And then his closest friends come. And they sit there for a while and just let Job kind of commiserate. And then they tell him that obviously you have sinned greatly, and that's why God is punishing you. Well, today's passage is about a younger man. His name is Elihu. And he sat back and let the older friends go first out of respect for them. And after they're through verbally beating Job up, Elihu shows this incredible wisdom for a young man. And in chapter 32, verse 9, Elihu says this, great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Had a verse in our men's study just yesterday that was talking about how gray hair is a wonderful thing for men. I disagree, but it's a sign of experience, if nothing else, you know. But what he's saying here is just because you've got power, you're a great man, just because you're older, that does not necessarily make you wise. And he's saying that in front of these three friends who have been beating Job up verbally for chapter after chapter after chapter of the book of Job. He then proceeds to tell Job that Elihu does, that God speaks in lots of different ways. And that's really kind of what this whole message is about. I've had people tell me before that they've prayed about something, and I know I've also prayed about that, and they got a completely different answer than I did. And I've had people tell me that the Lord spoke to them about something, and I'm always full of questions. Did he literally speak to you? Or was it a burning bush or a donkey or an angel? Why did he choose you to speak to? Why is he telling you something different than he's telling me? How do we know when God is truly speaking to us? And it's my prayer that maybe by the end of this message we'll have a clearer understanding of that. Anyway, we're going to be looking today at Job chapter 33, verses 12 through 18, but I'm really only going to focus on one verse. But I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Job 33, verses 12 through 18. And this is Elihu speaking to Job. He says, "Look, in this you are not righteous. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword." I don't think the problem is so much that he isn't speaking, it's that we're not listening. And we'll talk more about that as time goes by. I wrote this in my former life. I was very opinionated. I still am. I still am very opinionated. But God puts his hand over my mouth. Sometimes I talk through his hand or around his hand or over his hand. But for the most part, he's helped me to become more complacent. I know some of you are thinking, well, not always, but that's just the way it is. But for most of us, if we have a strong opinion about something, we will do whatever it takes to reinforce it. We won't listen to arguments that are contrary to what we've already chosen to believe. And that's why there are different news programs for different people. We want our opinions reinforced, not challenged. So if we happen to not believe that God speaks to us, we're going to point to all those times in our past when we thought he was silent or we thought he was missing in action. But we're going to ignore the times when it was obvious that he was working in our lives, when he was communicating with us. Still, I doubt that there are any here who would say that they have actually audibly heard the voice of God. Maybe some have. I happen not to be among them. I haven't heard the audible voice of God, but boy, does he speak to me. And verse 14 is the one that I really want to focus on for the whole message. It says, "For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it." Now, I looked at a lot of different translations of this particular verse, and it says it in lots of different ways, but all of them say, "For God may speak," or something to that effect. God does speak to us. Y'all know that I was at camp last week, and you know that it was a different kind of camp than what I've been to. And none of the kids, except for the ones that we took with us, knew who I was. And there was one situation where I was with a group of kids, and this one little girl sitting there, we were supposed to be studying the Bible, and she reached over to another girl beside her and started going like that with her keychain. And the little girl said, "Stop." She did it again. Then I said, "Stop." And she looked right at me, and she went. Let me just say, Mr. Williams, the principal, showed up that day, and she listened. She listened. Now, she had been asked to stop. She had been told to stop, and yet she chose not to listen. And she might have told other people when she got back to her cabin, because I unloaded on her. And she may have said, "It wasn't a big deal." Or she may have thought, "He didn't really mean it when he said stop." She could have even claimed that she didn't hear anybody say stop. But in fact, we did speak. The other girl and me, we spoke. Now, I really think our relationship with God is very much like that. He speaks, but we don't like what he's saying. we don't want to pay attention. And we're, you know, there's so many different ways that he speaks to us. And we're either so wrapped up in what we're doing that we don't hear it, or we just choose to ignore it. Many times in the New Testament, Jesus said something like this: "He who has ears, let him hear." Almost everybody has ears. Some of them don't work as well as they used to, I know. But we all have ears. We need to use them. Now, we may think it'd be easier to listen to God if he spoke to us the way he did in the Old Testament. You know, if there's a burning bush in your yard and all of a sudden it starts talking to you, you'd stand up and take notice of that. Or if a donkey spoke to us, we'd hear that. Or an angel descended from the sky. But here's the simple truth. If you want to hear from God today, you need to be right here in his word. And you know, if your Bible just lays on the table gathering dust all week long, and you dust it off to bring it to church once a week or once a month or however often, but you never open it any other time, and then you say, "Well, God just doesn't speak to me," there's your problem. You've got to be in his word. Now, that's just one way that he speaks to us, but I think it's the best way. Let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer me, but I just want you to consider it. How many times a day do you check this thing? You know, I check mine a lot. And many times during the day, I check to see if somebody's answered a text that I've sent to them. I check to see if there's a pickup for sale on Craigslist because I'm looking for one. And I keep looking for the news or sports updates and things like that. Now compare that to how many times a week do you communicate with the Lord through prayer, through his word, through something to speak to the Lord. And I'm guilty. I confess to you that I'm guilty of not communicating with God nearly as much as I communicate with others. I've had several people last week after the message say, "That message really spoke to me." And I praise God for that. I appreciate you telling me that. But I hope you all recognize this. It might have been my voice that was being broadcast, but if it spoke to you, it wasn't me. It was God. That's another way. God can speak to you even through a wretch like me. God can also speak to you through fellow believers. Your Sunday school director, your Sunday school teachers, the people you come to church with. You know, God can even speak to you through unbelievers. And that, I find that incredible, but it's true. And I want to hasten to add, Satan can also speak through your Sunday school director, your Sunday school teachers, the people you go to church with, and even unbelievers. Now, I pray that I would never say anything that supports the devil. But here's the deal. The devil's crafty, and he can take something that I've said, perfectly innocent, and he can make you think, he can make you interpret it in ways that you think that came from the devil. I've had some of you come up and ask me before and say, "What did you mean when you said whatever?" And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, because if I've said something that you think is questionable, or you think is leading people astray, or you think supports the devil, don't get mad, don't get hurt, don't tell other people about it. Come ask me what my intent was. And I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of times I say dumb things that I didn't know they were going to hurt. And I don't ever intend for that to happen. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes I intend for it, but I promise you, you're going to know it if I intended it to be hurtful. And I pray God has taken that away from me as well. Well, God also speaks to us through our thoughts. Did you ever have a thought that just came out of nowhere? Suddenly, you thought of something, and where'd that come from? And I can't tell you that it always does, but I believe it's God planting his desire for you in your mind. And those thoughts come. You know, maybe we say, where in the world did that come from? It didn't come from the world. Maybe. The verse that I read to you earlier, John 14:26, says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Jesus said that. You worry that you won't be able to remember the scriptures, or you won't be able to remember things if you go to witness to people. Jesus said this. It's a promise. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will bring to mind those things that you're going to need at the time you're going to need them. And I really believe many of you could offer up testimony about that, about how it's happened. I also think that John 14:26 is a clear indication of the Trinity. And I noticed that there was some talk about the Trinity today, the song that we sang, Spirit, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Father, I love you. We're talking about the Trinity. And here in this verse, it talks about the Holy Spirit sent by the Father in the name of Jesus. There's the Trinity right there. I read this in my research. Can't take credit for it, but some guy said that some of your most brilliant ideas weren't yours. Some of the greatest achievements and inventions in world history came as an inspired thought from God. We don't always give him the credit. Hey, I thought of something great. No, God gave that to you. Now, that doesn't mean that every thought we've ever had comes from God. In fact, quite the opposite can be true. The devil can speak to you, and he can plant ideas in your mind. And I want you to hear this. Anytime that we have fear or doubts or negative or divisive thoughts, they absolutely do not come from God. That's one thing we can be assured of. He's not going to plant any of those things in our minds. Another way that God speaks to us, and I've had it happen this morning, is through music. Most of you probably have a testimony also of how God brought just the right song at just the right time. And I've shared many times about how God used contemporary Christian music to redirect my life some 20 years ago. God can speak through our circumstances. Those circumstances that we're right in the middle of, that we don't feel, God, where are you in this? Why did you leave me here in this place? Well, I want you to know, he spoke audibly to Jonah. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And instead he went to Tarshish. He spoke audibly to him. And you all know what happened. There was a great storm. He ended up going overboard and swallowed by a fish. Now, I've never been swallowed by a fish. But there's times that I almost wish I could be. You know, to get away from whatever it is that's troubling me. He was in a circumstance that we can't even begin to imagine. He was in the belly of a fish. And God spoke to him through those circumstances. He spoke to him audibly to start with. And if he'd have been obedient, there probably wouldn't even be a book of Jonah, you know. Nobody would know his name. So God used those circumstances to pull him back where he needed to be. And as I said earlier, I believe God speaks to us primarily, most easily, through his written word. Through spoken words of preaching and teaching through other believers and even unbelievers, as I've said. He can speak to us through our thoughts, through music, through our circumstances. And then verse 19, which I didn't read because it kind of breaks off in the middle of a sentence, but it also talks about pain. God speaks to us through pain. And this is Elihu telling this to Job. Okay? So how can we know that it's really God speaking? Well, first of all, does it line up with God's word? Does it agree with the Bible? For example, if somebody feels like God is telling them to strap on a bomb around their waist and go blow something up, you are not going to find that in Scripture. It cannot be backed up by God's word. However, if you feel led to go visit someone, if you feel led to share your faith, if you feel led to do a good work, to teach a Sunday school class or a vacation Bible school class, all of those things line up with what God's word says. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not God speaking. Also, does what you think God is saying to you making you more like Jesus? If what you're hearing God tell you to do is what Jesus would have done, there's a pretty good chance you're hearing from God. Another thing that I've discovered is that God gives us peace, the peace that passes understanding. Another one of my favorite verses, one of several hundred, you know, but Philippians 4:7. And it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So do you have peace about what God is asking you to do? And I know how that can go. You might be being asked, for example, to teach a class, and you're nervous as all get out about it. I don't believe that the nervousness is from God. If you're being asked to teach a Sunday school class and you're nervous, just pray God to help you relieve that, and then see if you have peace. And if you don't have peace once you get into it, maybe that's not your calling. I believe God will give you peace if you're doing the right things and in the right place. And if you don't feel peace, look for something else. If you've ever heard me say that the Lord spoke to me, let me qualify it again. I've never heard God speak in an audible voice. But oh mercy, has he spoken to me? He spoke to me this morning, quite honestly. I don't know how much I can tell you about it, but I don't even want to be here today. I'm upset about something that has nothing to do with you or with this place. But I'm upset. And I didn't even want to get out of bed this morning. God spoke to me because I came. Okay? And I'm okay. I just knew I'd get like this when I talked about it. I'm okay. But you've got to do what God wants you to do, what he calls you to do. You've got to do it, because you won't have any peace otherwise, I guarantee it. I got one more scripture I want to use to back up what I'm saying here, which is John 10, verse 27. And John 10, and that whole area, is some more of my favorite scriptures, because in I think it's verse 32, it says something like this, that nothing can ever snatch us out of the hand of Jesus. And I love that assurance that we have, that once we belong to him, nothing can take us away. Nothing. But he also says this in chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And I want you to hear this again. These are words in red. That's from Jesus. And he says, "My sheep," that's you, if you're a believer, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus told us he was the shepherd. He's the keeper of the sheep. We're the sheep. And if we're believers, we will hear his voice. Maybe not audibly, necessarily, but we will hear him. Has the Lord spoken to you recently? If you're not a believer, the very first message you're going to get from him is, "I died for you. I gave my life so that you might be forgiven of your sins. You need to accept that." That's the first thing he's going to say to you. And I promise you, Satan is going to be talking to you. He's going to say, "Oh, you don't want to go up there. You'll start crying and everybody will call you Bruce." You know, there's all kinds of things that he's going to use to try to keep you from doing that. But Jesus asks you to accept the free gift that he offers. God speaks to us in various ways. And we have to have discernment. We have to recognize that nothing he ever says or does would any way go against his perfect will. And what is his perfect will? His perfect will is that mankind would be saved. Does it does anything that you're hearing from God fit with Scripture? If it does, if it moves someone, or if it moves you closer to being like Jesus, it's from God. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, if it's not leading to salvation, if it's not drawing you closer to being like Jesus, it's not from the Lord. And I pray that we can all recognize God does speak to us. I pray he spoke to someone this morning. I guarantee you, he's spoken to me. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for your word. I just thank you, Lord, for the book of Job and how, even though it troubles me to think how you could allow someone to be put through the misery and the difficulty that Job was put through, you used it, Lord. And in the midst of it all, you spoke to him. Lord, whatever we're going through, whatever trials, whatever difficulties, whatever worldly concerns that we allow occupy our minds, I pray, God, that we'll hear your voice. Not audibly, but Lord, I know that just like that little girl at camp, we hear you, but we don't want to stop. Help us, God, to do what you ask us to do, to follow you, to love you, to serve you, to praise you, to worship you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.